Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, comfort killers. You are now in tune with Stacy Cross, the comfort killer, the leader in high achieving comfort killer lifestyle. And I am on the phone, on the call. You're listening to Get Uncomfortable podcast show. I'm on the phone right now with a comfort killer policy analyst. I would have never thunk it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, never would have thought that I'd be sitting on the phone with a policy analyst, master in international development, and a comfort killer, and wants to do more in life, competition with herself. Her name is Paola Andrea Daza Aragon. I hope I said that right. Please tell me I said that right. Andrea Paola Daza Aragon. Please tell me I said that right.
You said it right, yes.
And I just want to build it up because I'm so energetic. I feel so good about this. You have really put me out my comfort zone because, like I said, I never would have thought I'm sitting here on the phone with a policy analyst, master's in international development, and I have no idea. So I would like you to tell the entire universe and to my comfort-killing audience, who you are and what you do and how'd you find out about the comfort killers?
All right. Well, first of all, awesome job pronouncing my name. I know it can be a little bit of a pickle sometimes. So as you said, I am a policy analyst. I have a master's degree in international development. And to not complicate things, explaining exactly what I do, it's basically all focused on pursuing social change. Mm. How can we make people's lives better by understanding what they need and then turning that into policy and turning that into public duty? So it's a very, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with my profession, to be honest. I mean, it's mostly love, for sure. But, it's very exciting in the sense of you're always analyzing and trying to figure out why people want what they want and why they behave in certain ways to be able to get it and how that starts, in a way, conflicting with society sometimes. Mm. So that's when we come in and try to figure out how can we make this better? What kind of policy or rule of conduct can we create that is going to generate benefit for people and improve their lives?
Beautiful.
So, and that's how, it's kind of like the easy way and like kind of like the humane way to explain it, because at the end of the day, we have to deal a lot with, politics and economics and like all of that crazy stuff and all of those crazy systems that, society has designed for us to be able to live with each other, right?
The civilization duties.
Yes. So basically, my field of preference is definitely gender and, analyzing men's and women's behavior and how we coexist with each other in a way that we are now in a society where gender equality is being acknowledged and the women's both productive and reproductive roles is being recognized as something that is valuable for both household and society as well. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely one of my favorite policy subjects to jump into. I'm not going to say I'm a feminist, but I'm definitely hard on defender of women's rights, and I am all up for driving society into recognizing women as they are, which are powerful beings capable of not managing the household, but also of getting their hands dirty and bringing in the bread.
Very nice.
So
I agree with that. And also, you are an advocate of the female species.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I, you know, denigrate men's role or anything. If anything, I am trying to also give healthy recognition to that, because at the end of the day, at least from where I'm from, we live in a very chauvinistic society. So it is hard to change that chip and make people understand that both men and women have a very important role in their household and in society for us to be able to be economically and socially sustainable in time. So that is definitely my favorite field within my own profession. But at the end of the day, it's a very wide profession, so I also end up getting my hands dirty with environmental issues, and then there's also capacity building and collaboration between private and public sector and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, and if I could interject one second, because it encompasses a lot. Your profession seems like it encompasses a lot of who you are and what you're passionate about, and what in that social change and the policy. When you talk, I feel like you have this grounded, deep-rooted passion involving that, and I could probably see how you went into a field like that, and of course, bringing you here, rooted person, passionate about social change, about the community, about civilization, and how it affects and interrelates with each other. So I could definitely tell that that's why you maybe advanced into that field. I'm always curious to know why are we talking, and how you came about to know the Comfort Killers, to know who I am, or to know even know what Get Uncomfortable is. And it just give me a quick synopsis, because I do take note of how did you find the Comfort Killer?
Well, it all circles back to the fact that I came to a personal realization.
Yeah.
And that was that I want to make money.
Yes.
And I don't want, like, I don't mean for that to sound as, you know, maybe superficial or like, I guess, money driven or anything like that. But the truth of the fact is that when I came back home from studying in the States, I realized that although I love my profession, unfortunately, it's not valued as it should be. We go through a lot of effort and like a lot of thinking to be able to provide technical value to the social issues and to like problem solving within this context. And the truth of the matter is that there is like this crazy notion where our payment is related to the fact that because we are so involved in providing well-being to society or looking to provide well-being to society, we have to also go through this social sacrifice where we're not doing our work for money, but for the common good. And I understand where that might be coming from, but the truth of the matter is that we are also humans. We are also, we also have our own needs and our own goals. And obviously everybody knows that to be able to accomplish things in life, you need to invest in life.
Oh, big word.
And exactly. And at the end of the day, well, if you don't have, there's two kinds of investments for me. One is time investment and the other one is money investment or economic investment. And to be able to accomplish your own personal goals in life, you have to do both. That's what happens. What happened with my master's. Like, if I didn't want to take the time to do it nor spend the money to do it, I would have not done it. And I would have not accomplished that goal in my life.
Right.
Right? So now that I have my master's and now that I have, like, the profession that I love and I'm getting to develop a career in that field, I still have other personal goals, such as purchasing a nice home one day, having a family, you know, being comfortable and being free in life, being able to not just, you know, survive life, but actually live life.
Thrive.
So I came to the realization that unfortunately my profession is not being, well, at least here in my country, is not being well paid. And obviously there are like exceptions and there are opportunities where you're saying like, oh, okay, this is a good salary. But the general rule is that we are severely underpaid. So I came to that realization and I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to blame my passion for my economic limitations because at the end of the day, I am developing my passion.
Right.
So, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to have to sacrifice one for the other. So that's when I started to explore different options and I realized that, all right, if I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to have to get uncomfortable.
Woo! I love that. So in order to make it happen, you had to get uncomfortable, is what you said to yourself.
Right. Yeah. I said to myself, if I want to have that economic liberty to be able to fulfill those goals that I have in life, aside from developing a career and like pursuing my own professional passions, I'm going to have to do something different that is going to give me that liberty.
So I love that you said economic liberty. I actually never used it in that term, and I'm going to probably steal it. I'm going to duplicate it. But so you had to get uncomfortable. So what actions did you take that led you to the comfort killers, Paola?
So, well, there were a couple of, I would call them more coincidences rather than actions that I took, because it was really funny, actually, because I started to consider to put together my own policy consulting company and along with a friend here in Colombia. But I don't know, for some reason, everything started to get like complicated, and just like, you know, all the legal procedure to put together the consulting company was like a huge headache. So I was like, man, you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, what we can do is like jump on proposals together as individuals and call it a day, because this shit is just a huge headache. Pardon my French.
No, that's all good. It's all good. So, you're actually better than me. I would have let go at least 10 of them already, but go ahead.
So what happened was that after I discarded the idea of putting together my consulting company, a group of friends from childhood brought to me MLM. And that's where I was like, holy shit, like this is a complete different animal to me. Like I have no idea what MLM is. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what this industry looks like. I don't even know how to sail, man.
So that she means MLM, and it's multi-level marketing. For those that are not aware, MLM, multi-level marketing. So your friends introduced you to this in Brazil, correct?
No, it's actually Bogota.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I did mention Brazil. I don't know where my head is at. You're in Colombia, Bogota, Colombia. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, that's where I am. So they introduced me to MLM, and this whole new world just opened to me. Mm. So I was just like, damn, this is actually fun. Yeah. So, you know, true to form, I just kind of like jumped into it, started doing my research, started learning about it, pretty much, you know, becoming a child and learning all over again, because it's a completely different profession as well. So once I started to kind of like visualize what I wanted to do with MLM, I started hunting leaders online. And I started hunting leaders online is because like MLM is a business that relies profoundly on leadership. And ironically, leadership is one of the things that in my own profession, we are lacking quite a bit in from both our own professional bringing and from both our professional practice.
Right.
So when I discovered this, I was just blown away by the whole subject, and it was just like, I need to start hunting my leaders, and I need to start talking to these people, because this is what I need. This is what I want to be the foundation of my MLM business.
Yeah.
So that's when I came across online with Stacy Cross on Comfort Killers.
Woo, woo.
And that's why I'm here.
I love that. I needed my crew, my Comfort Killers, to hear that, because, you know, when you told me that, there was a sense of reach that I was always trying to attain, where it's like, okay, you focused on finding leaders, and then here I come. And then now what that does for me is to reciprocate, okay, what am I doing in that space to maintain or to grow or expand that reach? And when you said that to me, that's why I brought it back, and I wanted to know, how did you find Stacy A. Cross? How did you find the Comfort Killers? And what else could we be doing to expand that reach? So thank you so much. That means a lot to me. So let me just try to kind of, you know, summarize what you said. You're a policy analyst, master in international development, living in Colombia, Bogota, and your friends introduced you to MLM. Now, how do you feel about a company like, you know, MLM? You know, they have products, of course, they kind of stretch you. You never did sales. And now you're thinking, okay, how can I make this work? Now, what is policy analyst? How does this two, they don't intertwine, right? It's almost like, you know, your profession is this policy analyst, but here you are stepping outside and looking at this other thing that's intriguing you, that's interesting, and it's going to push you out of your comfort zone. It's going to allow you to get uncomfortable. Now you're at a point where you want to build that business. Now, how does the two lie in terms of what do you focus on? You focus on this consulting with the policy analyst, you focus on being an entrepreneur, or all three? How are you managing this? Because I know inside your head you must be playing this tug of war with life at this time, where it's like MLM, my business, entrepreneur, it's putting me into this new space. Tell me about that.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. Like, to be honest, like you're lucky you're not in my head right now.
Yep.
It is definitely a tug of war, but like I said, it comes down to a point to understanding what you're willing to sacrifice, right?
Big word.
And to me, it's like I mentioned, like I feel like professionally, I've had the opportunity to, like, you know, experience my passion and get like dirty with that and all of that stuff. But understanding that my profession is not going to give me the economic means to accomplish my personal goals made me realize that I'm not willing to sacrifice one for the other. I am willing to do both.
Right.
So at the end of the day, and that gets you truly uncomfortable, because at the end of the day, you're kind of like, you know, you have this person in your mind who you are, and now to be able to accomplish another set of goals in life, you have to become this other person, right?
Yes.
Which is the entrepreneurial side of you. So, and this is something that, you know, I've been in MLM since February this year, and this is something that has been, how can I say it, pleasantly difficult. Because at the end of the day, I've been learning so much about myself just by getting out of that comfort zone. And I've also been understanding that there is no room for sacrifice when it comes down to accomplishing what you want in life and what you want to make life of, you know?
No room for sacrifice?
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna make sacrifices, might as well, you know, sacrifice something like your TV time.
Yeah.
Or your news time.
Yeah.
Like, sacrifice stuff like that, but don't sacrifice, you know, passions like I feel like passions that I feel like for my profession, and don't sacrifice your your dreams, because like, you know, right now I am 30 years old. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Don't be.
I'm a woman and I'm proud of my age.
Don't be ashamed.
But it comes down to the fact that, you know, I realized I want a family. I want a nice house. I want a dog. I want to be able to travel wherever I want, anywhere I want.
And I just, you know, I'm sorry for interrupting, but, you know, because you're hitting me with some nuggets there. You're hitting me with some nuggets and you keep going. I'm like, man, I want to, so I'm sorry, but you said, you know, and this is important for me, and I hope important for the listeners to understand, you know that your profession will not give you the economic liberty that allows for freedom, comfortable living, the dog, the travel. So, but you will not sacrifice the passions in your profession. You sacrifice TV, you sacrifice the news, you sacrifice maybe getting up earlier in the morning because you're focused on living that dream and getting things done. I just wanted to clarify that, because, not clarify, but just highlight that, because that's so important. You know, and that awareness is huge, because a lot of people they're not even aware right now of that. You know, they're sitting in their 9-to-5. They are upset with life. They probably know that they have talents and dreams that are bigger than the universe itself, but they're scared to take that drive. And I know, because even me personally right now, I am in my current 10 to 6, 9 to 5, 12 to 8, whatever, right? I'm in it, but I'm using that as that platform to do whatever I need to do. So if I consider myself a motivational speaker, a leader, an achiever, I'm going to make sure every day in that 9-to-5, 10-to-6 that I'm living that. It doesn't stop when I clock out, or it doesn't stop when I clock in. It's an everyday thing. But the time is of the essence, right? So I get up earlier. I try to knock things out. I sacrifice those things and to keep my dream alive. And I love what you said. You know that one couldn't do the economic liberty, but you're willing to use that one as a platform, the policy analyst, as a platform to continue and then focus on this new thing, right? It's MLM. What is this about? It's pushing me. It's driving me. I'm challenged. I want to learn what's sales, what's this, what's closing. So now it's bringing you into this entrepreneurial spirit, and I love it.
Yes, I am loving it too.
I love it. So you know,
I am loving it too.
And you know, and this show is called Get Uncomfortable, right? And we always want to find out the meat and potato of things to do, or what you consider how to get uncomfortable. So in any terms, you know, because I know you went to school in D.C., you got your master's in D.C., you went to university and college here in the States, and then you went back to Columbia, you know, to work, and now you're, you know, purposely doing whatever, right? You're getting to the point where you're at this crossroad of entrepreneurial leadership and getting things together on that aspect. But you said a couple of times you changed. Okay, you changed. What are some things that changed on behalf or a byproduct of getting uncomfortable? Tell me, who was the old Paola versus this new entrepreneurial mindset Paola?
Well, I think one of the most let me see, how can I put this? I mean, you go through some changes that are both emotional and rational, right? Mm-hmm. So for instance, emotional changes, battling your ego is Ooh. Probably one of the most difficult yet rewarding battles you're gonna ever have in life, to be honest, because when it comes to accepting the fact that your profession is not going to fulfill your economic expectations.
Wow.
And just having that reality check, that's a huge ego killer.
I'm sure.
Like, that will slap your ego in the head 1,000 times over.
And it'll punch you, and it'll punch you in the face like, should I even had went for this, man?
Yeah. And honestly, I remember having like a little bit of a breakdown one day where I was just kind of like, holy shit, I just spent all this time and all this money in this master's degree.
Yep.
And here's my reward. And
the ROI. The ROI isn't there. The ROI is not there. And you know what, though, Paola, because you're passionate. You're passionate about society. You're passionate about people. You're passionate about women. You're passionate about the economy. You're passionate about policy. But here's the thing. You know, if I had to do it all over again, and I wish my parents told me this, go where the money is. Okay?
Yep.
Go where the money is. Go where it breaks you. So you're even if you fail, you have advanced so far. Network, connect. You know, don't go to college for that piece of paper that doesn't have an ROI. Go to college to connect with everyone you can. Or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I went to school for nursing. No interest in it. No interest in it. But guess what? It was the rite of passage. It's what my mom did. It's what my aunt did. That was the thing to do. But I wish I had that. If I had to do it all over, and I love that I have to do it the hard way and see for myself, because then we could talk about it. But if I had to do it all over again, I would follow the money. And I think that's where a lot of people in this society, in this world, in this universe, and right now, because being wildly comfortable, right? Getting the dog, going traveling, seeing the world, that's living, okay?
Yeah.
Living is not standing on your feet, working for someone else's dream a million hours, and then getting, guess what, a third. When you're, what is it, 62 years old, then you're getting your little $2,000 a month SSI and a stupid pension. That's not living. Living starts now. Why aren't we living now? We have to wait to die to live. So I agree with you, and I know that must have been an ego crusher for you. Because I'm crushed right now. I'm crushed right now for you and for myself, but that's why we got to this point. Tell me about the changes in rational, being rational now.
Yeah. Well, and the rational changes, it's what you just said.
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Follow the money. Follow the money, baby.
Yeah, seriously. But like here's something that I would like to add to that. And it's like, be careful why you follow the money, you know? Because at the end of the day, like, you know, people, you know, they get their ego crushed and then they follow the money and then they make the money. But get who's back? Guess who's back? Their ego.
Their ego comes back.
And they turn into this, the ego comes back. And like all of those lessons that came out of getting their ego crushed are forgotten.
Yeah.
And they're just... They just go back to who they were when their ego was there.
Well, I think this pathway that you and I are choosing, this the journey, the process of it, it comes where it breaks us. Something breaks us. Something spiritual happens, physical happens, and reality bites. And you take your head out of the cloud and your meditation stops and you start looking at the numbers. And you realize that, but then you grow with the process. So guess what? In that growth, you start to learn more about yourself and what you will not do for money, what you will do. And you're not going to get into this get quick rich scheme, because you wouldn't find me looking up leadership. If you're trying to get rich at the benefit of others and do it the wrong way, you don't look up words like leadership. You don't look up words like challenging and try to define who you are spiritually or care about how you get there or when you get there. See, I know it's going to be a long road. I know this journey is going to be long. I'm ready to prepare and sacrifice for that long road ahead. So I'm doing the things daily now, and I know you are speaking with you, and this is not the first time we spoke. So I know that it's not about this fast, what do I got to do now? It's more about how can I curate? What's the process that I need to take? What can I learn? You know? And that right now is bigger than the universe. Rational, emotional, battling your ego. Okay? Crushing yourself. crying a few hours of the night, wondering what the hell you just did. And then rational, it's like, shit, if I had to do it all over again, this is what I've done. I'm going to use that lesson and I'm going to apply it now into everything I'm doing, but I'm going to do it ethically. And I think that's the big word here, is going for ethic, doing the right things and benefiting a lot of people at the same time.
Absolutely. And that is something, and here's the magic that's happening to me right now. And what you just mentioned is actually the true connection between me growing as an entrepreneur and remaining as a policy analyst. Mm. Because at the end of the day, my profession is about service. It's about service. It's about service to the community. It's about service to vulnerable groups of people. It's about service to the public sector. Yeah. It's about service, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I am serving everybody except me.
Right, right.
And that's not fair.
Right.
So I want to figure out how can I still be of service, but include myself in that bunch.
No, that's good. But you know what? Making money is not an evil thing. We were taught that by tradition, oh, you know, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you made the money, but you know, if you're anything else or you're not in the government, whatever, this is what you get, and that's just what it is. And no one says that your time, you put a value on your time. Payola could say, listen, for my time, for an hour of my time, it's $250. Someone else says for that same hour, it's $1,000. Another person might say for that hour, it's $7 an hour. It's crazy how you value your time. And no one said you could make it as big as you can. Nothing, you know, whatever you do is whatever number you put on yourself is not wrong, you know. And I think that's why we go into these positions not expecting to just stay at that ground level, because someone made it for us. Someone told us that's what it is. No, we're not going to break the rules. That's just how it is. And it's a shame. And, you know, my family's from Jamaica and we were very hard workers. You know, when my family came up to America, it was the American dream. And what's the American dream, though, Paola? It's a nice house. It's the picket fence. It's the two cars. And it's working your job until retirement. That was the American dream. So that's what I've been taught. So now I'm trying to break the cycle. And the cycle says, you know what? And that's why we have a money complex. That's why it's so difficult for you to even talk about money. It's because of these complexes and the traditions that's been laid before us. That really someone made up. You had nothing to do with that. And when you finally start taking the control back, and I think that's what gets some, you know, my definitions of, you know, how I get uncomfortable is taking the control back, because it's uncomfortable to do that. Because then you have to break traditions, break mindsets, and shift your thinking. So now I'm like, okay, wow, I control this thing. I don't have a complex with money. That's just been told to me by the schools making me an employee. Okay, so I love that you're at this space, and one of my reasons for having conversations with Comfort Killers, and you being my first subject, is so we could define what people are going through at the time when they're getting uncomfortable. Not speaking from the future into the past, we're speaking into the right now. What are we doing right now to get uncomfortable? What are we doing right now? What are some things on our minds? And that's a big one that you had on your mind for emotional, big one for rational. Now you're at this point, Paola. What are you going to do?
Well, that's where the fun comes in.
Yes.
That's where all the fun stuff starts, to be honest. Because you're sitting down and you're trying to figure out 1,000 things at a time, because at least that's how I am. I have like this bad habit is that I tend to be very impatient with myself. Mm. And I feel that, you know, once I get on board with all this new stuff, I have to like, you know, learn it in record time and just like have the ability and have all the knowledge and just know and know and know and like, you know, have all the answers right away.
Right.
And obviously, I spent my first 2 months in MLM, well, behaving that way, and obviously was completely counterproductive.
Yes.
So you start to also understand that, yes, time is of the essence, but you need to understand that concept with objectivity, because yes, time is of the essence, but being impatient is not going to make it any different.
Wow.
So you have to understand that yes, time is of the essence. So you have to know or learn how to use your time productively.
Yes.
And even if it's with a small thing or a big thing, as long as it's something that you got done, it was worth your time.
And it brings you closer to your goal.
And it brings you closer to your goal. So one of the things that like the number one thing that I learned that I had, like, what do I do now? Well, first of all, learn how to be patient with myself. And number two, plan.
Yeah.
Give yourself the time to plan. Okay, this is a new animal that you're confronting. What does it like to eat? Mm. How does it like to be pet?
Mm.
Does it like to be, you know, told what he needs to do? Or should you, like, try to be friends with the animal?
Right.
You know? And I know this is kind of like a crazy analogy, but, like, you are starting to pretty much get to know you all over again to be able to understand how you will look like as an entrepreneur, especially in a business like MLM, that it's pretty much a people's business. So what do I do? Okay, I sit down and understand and try to figure out what do I need to learn? What are some of the skills that I already have that I can apply to this business?
Mm.
What are my goals as this person? And how much time does it take me to learn all this stuff? Like, there is no, seriously, there is, like, absolutely no benefit by becoming impatient and frustrated just because you have to learn all of this stuff.
Do you know a quote? One quote that sticks with me is, I'm not scared of the man that practice 1,000 punches one time. I'm scared of the man that practice one punch 1,000,000 times. Meaning, like, that man is so powerful because he's stuck in one thing no matter the time. And I actually had to deal with this, though, Paola, because I'm thinking I'm so natural at certain things, and I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna handle my business in a natural essence. And then you have to get this plan and process in there. And someone sent me a script and said, "Hey, Stace, I need this script by tomorrow." And I'm like, "This is nothing. It's just a script. I'm gonna read it off. I'm so charismatic." And it took me at least like 150 takes, Paola, to do this 60-second script, which I thought that I was gonna just kill the first time. And no, and that brought me back, and it crushed my ego a bit, but it brought me back to know that things take practice and things take time. And if you're dedicated to that time and practice, then you have developed more patience in yourself. And that was the byproduct of that, what I've learned, and I'm learning every day how to deal with certain aspects. So I agree with you, I'm impatient. You're going to know I am impatient. And sometimes it's good to have impatience because I thank myself for being who I am every day. So when I talk fast and I'm trying to get answers out of people and I want this and I want that done and I want that done, I'm thankful for that. But in certain cases and in certain experiences and situations, I'm going to have to learn how to be patient. And that's how the universe puts you on your ass and lets you sit there and learn like a student. Like a pupil,
yeah.
like that's how we gain discipline. And so I thank the universe for teaching me that lesson. And every lesson here thereafter is because I got a script, thought it was going to be done in a jiffy, and it turned out to be 3 days, like almost 150 takes of a 60-second thing, and it humbled me. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So, yep. Paola, this is what we're going to do. You taught me a lot today about more about who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. And and hopefully this resonates with our listeners, comfort killers, that are sitting there wondering, wow, I do have this 9-to-5. And, you know, wow, maybe I am feeling some changes inside. And I do have, you know, some fire in my ass and trying to get to my passion. And one thing I've learned about passion is, do you follow the passion? Do you follow the money? That's a question I always ask. And I found out the answer is both. And I think if you focus on doing things, no matter what it is, even if you thought that, hey, this is not me, this is not my style, you will at least know that it isn't, you know? And I think that trying and trying and failure, you stumble on your passion hard. And you're like, wow, I didn't even think this would be it, but this is it. And I think anything revolving around the benefit of mankind and the benefit of the universe and the education of the universe and serving the universe is always a passion. So before we close this, I want to discuss with you one last question, and I want you to answer as honestly as you can. What's the best advice? Okay, because I'm going to jot this down. I like stealing this one. What's the best advice you would give someone that is trying to get uncomfortable and live to their potential in about two sentences? Two to three sentences, the single best advice you would give to someone that is trying to get uncomfortable and live to their potential. Be honest, because I'm going to steal it.
Oh, wow. I would say is, once you get the itch, jump, get wet, and keep on swimming.
What? That's, you know what? Hold on. Let me write it down. Once you get the itch. Say that again for us.
Once you get the itch, jump, get wet, and keep on swimming.
Damn.
Don't
so
stop swimming.
I love it. I love it. Because you know what? That itch happened to me. It happened to you. It's happening to millions at this time. And what I love about personal development, and I know you love this too, is the fact that once you get to this street on this corner, the light comes on. A light comes on, and in that light comes an answer, and you have to take that jump. You have to take that plunge to find that answer. And once you know that answer, you could get off of that ledge and go to a different ledge. And it's this growth. It's this constant growth in levels that I love with personal development. So once you get that itch, don't ask questions. Just jump, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, honestly, I feel that, and this is something that I've discovered since I've been in MLM, and I just see the people that are more successful in my company are the people that heard about the business, heard about the model, didn't understand shit, but felt it, and they just jumped.
Right.
And
right.
Now, and 3 years after being in the company, they're the leaders, and yeah, they're the ones teaching you that and telling you you need to jump. If you feel it, if your gut's telling you this is a good thing for you, do it.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions.
Don't ask no questions. And if you can't swim, just move your arms and move your legs and stay afloat. just get in there. Get in there. Paola, it was a honor speaking with you and you reaching out and having this conversation. Like I said, I speak with comfort killers, okay? People that want more than they had yesterday. Whether it's personal development, they're getting uncomfortable in life, they're getting challenged, They're jumping in the gym. They're jumping in the ocean. They just want more. They want to live a better life. And I am pleased to know that I know you now. And you're always within my mental Rolodex as a person that I will reach out to when I need help. And it's a connection that I think is broader than itself. And I appreciate you taking the time, your valuable time, to speak with my audience.
I'm going to say the honor is all mine as well. I was super excited about this, and just the fact that through you I can reach out to a lot more people, thousands of people. It's just, you know, filling my heart with excitement, because at the end of the day, I feel that once you become a comfort killer, it's a duty.
Woo.
To make people get uncomfortable too.
Oh my God. If you could just say that line to me one more time, I would appreciate it greatly. What did you just say?
I just said that once you become a comfort killer, it is your duty to push people to become uncomfortable too.
Bam! I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Paola. I'm sure we'll be speaking soon. And, you know, have a blessed challenging and uncomfortable day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Too.
All right. Bye.